Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're going to unpack a real nail biter of a case. It's all about confidentiality agreements and how they can be, unexpected shields when mergers go sour.
Yeah, this one's got it all. High stakes, corporate maneuvering, legal strategy, and a plot twist you won't see coming.
Definitely. And we're talking about two major players in the construction world, Martin Marietta Materials and Vulcan Materials.
Right, the two biggest names in the construction aggregates industry, actually.
Huge. So set the scene for us. What went down?
Okay, so rewind back to 2010. Martin Marietta and Vulcan were actually thinking about merging, you know, joining forces. They're in talks. Things seem pretty friendly. And naturally, they draw up a non-disclosure agreement, an NDA, and a joint defense agreement to keep things under wraps.
Makes sense. You're sharing sensitive business info. Got to have those safeguards in place.
Exactly. But here's where things take a turn. The merger talks fizzle out. And then, bam, Martin Marietta pulls a 180 and launches a hostile takeover bid for Vulcan.
Oh, wow. Using the intel they got from those friendly talks.
You got it. And of course, Vulcan is crying foul, saying, hey, that's not cool. You're using our own secrets against us. Breach of contract, they claim. And that's how this whole legal battle kicks off.
So that brings us to the big question, right?
Yeah.
Did Martin Marietta actually cross the line using information they weren't supposed to?
That's the crux of it. The case Martin Marietta Materials, Inc. v. Vulcan Materials Co. boils down to how you interpret certain clauses in those agreements.
So basically a legal showdown over the fine print.
Exactly. And one of those key clauses was the external demand requirement in the NDA. Think of it like this information can only be disclosed if there's a subpoena, a regulatory requirement, you know, some outside force compelling it, not just because a company decides to spill the beans on their own terms.
So kind of like a one-way door for sensitive info.
Perfect analogy. Now, Martin Marietta tried to argue that SEC disclosures they made during the hostile takeover were covered by this external demand clause because they were legally required.
Clever move, did it work?
Not a chance. The court quickly pointed out that external demand refers to demands from third parties, not a company's own voluntary filings.
Okay, so even though those SEC filings are technically required,
right,
this case shows that you can't just use them as a loophole to weaponize confidential information.
Exactly. Martin Marietta couldn't hide behind the SEC to justify using Vulcan's secrets for their hostile takeover.
Wow, that's a big takeaway right there. Even in seemingly friendly talks, you got to be incredibly careful about what you disclose.
Absolutely. And it doesn't end there. Remember that joint defense agreement we talked about? Well, that outlined a specific three-step process for disclosing any confidential information.
Lay it on us. What were the steps?
First, immediate notification to the other party. Second, cooperative response to the demand. And third, good faith efforts to limit disclosure. Pretty straightforward, right?
Seems reasonable. So did Martin Marietta follow this process before going public with their hostile bid?
Nope, not even close. They went straight to the SEC, made investor presentations using Vulcan's confidential EBITDA projections, even incorporated protected data into their proxy materials.
Yikes. Uh-huh. They basically threw the rule book out the window.
Exactly. And the court was not impressed. They called Martin Marietta out for blatantly disregarding the agreed upon process.
So not only did they potentially misuse the information, but they also completely sidestepped the process.
Right. It really underscores the importance of having clear procedures in place and actually sticking to them.
Big lesson learned. So we've got the external demand trap and the bypassed notice and vetting process. But I hear there's another twist to this story.
Oh, there is. And it all hinges on the definition of a single word transaction.
Ooh. That sounds juicy. Tell me more.
Well, the joint defense agreement stated that confidential information could only be used for the specific transaction being discussed.
Seems simple enough, but I have a feeling there's more to it.
You bet. What exactly did transaction mean in this context? That's where things get really interesting.
This is where the lawyers really earn their keep right, untangling those tricky definitions.
Absolutely. The court had to dig deep into the negotiation history, the intent behind the words. And they ultimately concluded that in this case, transaction referred only to a negotiated merger.
Uh-huh. So not just any type of acquisition.
Right. Specifically a negotiated merger, not a hostile takeover.
So Martin Marietta couldn't use information gathered during those friendly chats to launch a hostile attack.
You got it. That interpretation was a real game changer.
I bet. What were the implications of this narrower definition?
Well, it essentially meant that the court weaponized the confidentiality agreement. They turned it into a kind of stealth standstill agreement.
Hold on, explain that one, Sherry. What do you mean by stealth standstill agreement?
Sure. So traditional standstill agreements explicitly block competing bids, right? They say, hey, you can't make a move on this company. But in this case, the court achieved a similar effect through their interpretation of transactions.
So by limiting the use of confidential information?
Exactly. They essentially blocked Martin Marietta from using that insider knowledge to their advantage.
That's pretty clever.
Mm-hmm.
So it protected Vulcan without an explicit standstill clause.
Right. It gave Vulcan a fighting chance to protect itself because Martin Marietta didn't have access to their strategic roadmap anymore.
Wow, this case is full of twists and turns. And I hear the court didn't stop there. They actually went a step further in protecting Vulcan. But we'll have to save that part of the story for the next segment.
Definitely stay tuned, because the court's actions have some major implications for how we think about confidentiality agreements and M&A deals.
You won't want to miss it. We'll be back right after the break. Welcome back, everyone. We're picking up right where we left off, diving deep into this fascinating case of Martin Marietta versus Vulcan Materials.
It's a real legal thriller with twists and turns you won't believe.
And a lot of valuable lessons for anyone involved in mergers and acquisitions.
Absolutely. Now, remember how we were talking about the court essentially weaponizing the confidentiality agreement, turning it into a stealth standstill agreement?
Yeah, they blocked Martin Marietta from using that insider info for their hostile takeover.
Right. Well, they didn't stop there. To really level the playing field, the court issued a 4-month injunction against Martin Marietta.
Whoa. So not only did they say you can't use this information, but they also gave Vulcan a head start to regroup.
Precisely. It was like a timeout for corporate raiders. A chance for Vulcan to develop new strategies without the advantage Martin Marietta had gained through the confidential information.
So this cooling off period essentially restored the balance that existed before the breach of confidentiality.
Exactly. It showed the court's commitment to upholding the spirit of those agreements, even in the high-stakes world of corporate takeovers.
Okay, so let's shift gears a bit and talk about what all of this means for our listeners out there, especially those of you who are knee-deep in the world of M&A. What are the key takeaways from this case?
Well, I think this case offers some crucial drafting lessons when it comes to confidentiality agreements. It's a wake-up call for lawyers and anyone involved in deal-making.
So what should we be paying attention to?
First and foremost, define transaction with laser-like precision. Don't leave any room for ambiguity. Explicitly include or exclude hostile takeovers to avoid those nasty surprises down the road.
So basically spell it out.
Exactly. Don't rely on assumptions or vague language. And while we're at it, let's address those SEC filings. Don't rely on those vague legally required exceptions either.
Right. We talked about how those can backfire.
Yeah. Spell out exactly what disclosures are permissible and under what circumstances, especially in a potential takeover scenario.
It's like anticipating those potential loopholes before things even get started.
Right. Think several steps ahead. And another thing, when requesting injunctions, you got to factor in how long that confidential information remains relevant.
Right. Because that will determine how much time the wrong party needs to adapt and level the playing field.
Exactly. In this case, 4 months was deemed sufficient. But what if the information had a shorter shelf life? These are the kinds of nuances lawyers need to be thinking about.
It's all about strategy, isn't it? Are there any other proactive measures companies should consider?
You know, in Martin Marietta, the court specifically criticized Martin Marietta for completely bypassing that agreed-upon vetting process. Remember those three steps?
Oh, yeah. Notification, cooperation, good faith efforts to limit disclosure.
Right. Well, I think including mandatory mediation steps before resorting to litigation could help prevent these disputes from escalating into public scorched-earth legal warfare.
So a bit like relationship counseling for corporations.
Exactly. Trying to work things out amicably before things get ugly and expensive.
Makes sense. So this case has really shaken up the M&A landscape, hasn't it? Seems like companies can't just assume they can smoothly transition from friendly talks to hostile maneuvers using the same set of confidential information.
You're absolutely right. This case essentially forces bidders to conduct parallel due diligence. One track operates under the cloak of confidentiality for friendly deals, while a separate independent track relies solely on publicly available data for potential hostile takeovers.
So you can't use those cozy confidential chats as a springboard for a hostile attack.
The Delaware courts have made that crystal clear.
What does this mean for the future of M&A? I mean, does this create an uneven playing field?
That's a great question, and one that will likely be debated for years to come. The Delaware courts have spoken confidentiality is paramount. But how this will all play out in the ever-evolving world of M&A remains to be seen.
Definitely adds another layer of complexity to an already complex process.
Well, folks, there you have it, a deep dive into the fascinating case of Martin Marietta versus Vulcan, and the surprising power of confidentiality agreements.
We've explored the legal twists and turns, the strategic implications, and the potential impact on the future of deal-making.
Hopefully this has provided some valuable insights.
And maybe even sparked some lively discussions around the office water cooler.
As always, we encourage you to share your thoughts and perspectives on this case. Until next time, stay informed, stay engaged, and keep those legal minds sharp.
You know what really strikes me about this case? It's how it elevates confidentiality agreements. They're not just procedural safeguards anymore.
Right, they're becoming powerful strategic tools.
Exactly. They can shape the entire landscape of M&A negotiations. It's like they've become implicit standstill agreements.
That's a really interesting point. It adds a whole new layer of complexity to deal making. Companies need to be so much more strategic about what they disclose and how they structure these agreements.
Absolutely. This case has ushered in a new era of scrutiny and caution when it comes to confidentiality. Meticulous drafting, strict adherence to procedures, a deep understanding of the nuances of contracts. It's all crucial now.
It's like the Wild West of M&A just got a new sheriff in town.
Exactly. And this isn't just a lesson for the corporate raiders out there.
Right.
Target companies also need to be proactive, making sure their agreements are ironclad, having strategies in place to protect their sensitive information.
So everyone needs to up their game. This case has raised the stakes for everyone involved. But, you know, before we wrap up, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought.
Okay, shoot.
So if companies are now forced to conduct this parallel due diligence, right?
Right. One track for friendly deals, another for potential hostile takeovers.
Exactly. Does that create an uneven playing field? Does it unfairly disadvantage bidders who are initially approaching a target with genuine intentions for a friendly merger?
That's an excellent question and one that will likely be debated for years to come. The Delaware courts have made their stance clear: confidentiality is paramount. But how this will all actually play out in the real world of M&A, that's still up in the air.
It definitely adds another layer of complexity to an already complex process.
For sure.
Well, folks, there you have it. Our deep dive into the fascinating case of Martin Marietta v. Vulcan. We've explored the legal nuances, the strategic implications, the potential impact on the future of deal making. Hopefully you found it as insightful as we have.
It's certainly a case that makes you think.
Absolutely. As always, we encourage you to share your thoughts on this case and its implications. Until next time, stay informed, stay engaged, and keep those legal minds sharp.